This is Soil Sense Field Check, where we explore some of the more practical aspects of building healthier soils. I'm Tim Hamrich, and over the past five seasons of the Soil Sense podcast, we've learned that building healthier soils takes curiosity, creativity, and collaboration between farmers, researchers, consultants, and extension. These stories have both inspired and informed a lot of people, but the question still remains, how do I make this work on my farm? That's why we like to produce these field check segments to explore some of the more practical aspects to soil health. Agronomy, logistics, equipment, best practices, safety, and other important considerations. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Field Check. Well, welcome back to another episode of Field Check. I'm your host, Tim Hamrich. This is now our 13th installment of this series, looking at how soil health gets implemented in practice. Today, we talk about a problem that many farmers run into on their soil health journey, residue management. But rather than just focus on one field, as we've often done in the past, we've collected a handful of different perspectives and experiences for you here today. In today's episode, you'll hear from two farmers and two researchers about this challenge and how they're finding ways to maximize the benefits of residue while also managing some of those challenging aspects that can come with it. First, farmer Sam Landman describes the problem that residue has caused on his farm in the past and how he's tried to address those issues.
We're wrestling with high moisture in our soils, being able to get into it, and then also high residue. We have hairpinning problems with our no-till equipment, like our single disc drills and disc planters and stuff. If the residue isn't quite dry or if it's too thick, it'll hairpin, and then the seed won't have any soil contact and it won't come up. So, you know, that of course starts with residue management behind the combine, spreading it better. And so we're having residue management challenges and moisture challenges, and that's the biggest thing. And like I said, we have short time windows. The thing with residue with disc drills is it seems to work better if you seed in the afternoon when there's no dew on the residue. So when it's dried off, the disc cuts through it a little bit better. But, I mean, if you don't start seeding till the afternoon, you know, half your day is shot. So I'm hoping to, you know, experiment with different seeding equipment and just seeing what works best for this area.
Like Sam, farmer Carrie Olson has had some of the same struggles. In fact, she decided to invest in a stripper head as part of her program to manage residue on her operation.
And behind the combine, too, the residue, you know, getting it to spread evenly has been a struggle. With the combine, I almost can't stop with wheat because if you know you get too much residue in an area, that'll be a problem area for corn the next year. I think one of the big things that we realized is we need to invest in a stripper head where it just strips off the wheat heads and keeps all of the straw standing so that there is some black soil down there that can warm up faster and get the seed to pop up at the same time. So that's something new we're trying. Equipment has gone up in price, and we haven't been able to upgrade like we have in the past. And so, you know, the idea is that if, you know, this stripper header to justify how we paid for it, you know, I ended up getting some money from the NRCS, the local NRCS through EQIP, which helped fund it. But also you think the bean head, you know, we share with the wheat, well, it'll save wear and tear on that. There's not as much chaff and residue feeding through the combine, you know, causing wear and tear on that. But I'm also thinking that stripper head might help because instead of the seed that we broadcast on sitting on top of the residue, maybe it'll get down to the actual soil and take off. But yeah, we're running into issues with that. And it did okay, but it's not where we would like it to be. But I guess, you know, that is this whole game is trial and error and figuring out what to do. But I feel like it's always changing and more aggressive in our row cleaners, I guess. Yeah, just to move that trash out of the way for the corn seed.
Soil scientist Dr. Kaylee Gash addressed this challenge at a previous dirt workshop. Kaylee has since moved from NDSU up to Alaska, but I wanted to include her comments here, which explain how a more biologically active soil can eventually help to reduce some of these residue issues.
that's one of the biggest challenges in this transition period from having a history where you're incorporating the residue and breaking it up and mixing it in with the soil so that you have an easier soil to plant into the following year. You know, that's kind of the conventional system. And then as you're transitioning to a no-till, you tend to have all this surface residue and it causes problems for equipment and stand uniformity and all of that. So those first few years, based on what I've heard from farmers who've experienced this, and I think Anthony alluded to this, is that the first few years, maybe the first 5 years, are challenging. And you kind of might have to get a little creative by incorporating some cover crops to change those carbon to nitrogen ratios so that that residue starts to decompose. Or maybe you try strip till as sort of your transition, you know, tool to migrate into a reduced till system. But as that soil begins to recover, as those microbes and fungi and earthworms and insects kind of return to that soil and boost their numbers in response to the lack of disturbance, they're going to take care of that residue over time. And so their ability to reduce that residue and break it down, make it soft, blow it off as CO2, that's all going to improve over time. And it just gets easier and easier the longer that habitat for them is maintained. So they'll help you out. It just takes a little bit of time for that system to get kind of ramped up and cranking.
Kaylee's colleague, Dr. Aaron Day, who's now at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, speaks to the challenge of getting soil with residue to heat back up in the spring. He says shallow vertical tillage might be a good option for many farmers who struggle with this.
So here's a couple of scenarios that we've ran into in our research and what we've observed. If you take something like a fall chisel plow with a spring cultivation before planting, we'll usually have around 30% residue cover on that soil, and that soil will be relatively dry and heat up quite well. You compare that to a no-till soil, where there's been no tillage. The only thing close to disturbing the soil happened during planting with this no-till drill, and that soil there might be close to 90% covered by residue from the previous season. And those two soils, that no-till one will be wetter and will be cooler to a certain extent. It's up here; it's not unusual to see sandy or loamy soils have, 7-8 degree differences in between those two soils, and twice as much water in the no-till than in that chisel plowed soil. Now, for clay soils, we don't see it nearly as much, and part of the reason is because clay soils wick up a lot of water from beneath. So tilling in clay soils, there's not as big of a difference in between tilling and no-tilling, at least with temperature and water, because the clays just wick up water anyways. But if you look at a practice in between, so one of the tillage practices that we've been looking at is a shallow vertical till. So this is just a gang of coulters that are set very straightforward, not very much pitch to them. We're only going down maybe 2 inches into the soil, and it's just meant to size up the residue to make it a little bit smaller, and that's it, and to thin down that residue layer. So after a vertical till, even two passes with a vertical till, you can still have 70-80% residue cover, quite a lot. And when you look at how well that soil warms up and dries out, it actually is leaning not even midway in between the no-till and the chisel plow. It's leaning closer to the chisel plow. It warms up usually just a couple degrees behind that of something that's got only a third of the amount of residue cover on it. And the thing is that it's not the residue cover so much the aerial amount of residue cover that's controlling the temperature and the moisture. It's just the thickness of it. So a lot of times when, at least for producers up here, when they're interested in building soil health, but they're a little hesitant on, if the soil, their soils being wet and cool in the spring with our short growing seasons, how that's going to affect their yields in the end. A good recommendation that I usually give to them is try out a vertical till. You will see a lot of residue still out on the field, but thinning it down will get you almost, not all the way, but almost to the state that you could see a chisel plow performing in.
Well, I hope that generates some ideas on this challenge of residue management. Thank you so much to Dr. Aaron Day, Dr. Kaylee Gash, Carrie Olson, and Sam Landman, all for contributing to today's episode of Field Check. Do you have a question about soil health or a story of one field you'd like to share? Leave us a voicemail at the click of the button by going to www.ndfieldcheck.com and just click the start recording button right there on the page. We'd love to hear from you and you might be featured on an upcoming episode of Field Check. This program is made possible through the support of the North Dakota Corn Council, the North Dakota Wheat Commission, the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Dakota Barley Council, and Anheuser-Busch. For more stories like this, visit ndfieldcheck.com and subscribe to Soil Sense wherever you get your podcasts.